Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. Hey, everybody, Cleaning Nation. This is Mike Campy with the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. I have my brand new Aussie friend, Mick Manning, which sounds like a made up name in a movie, like Manning. That sounds like a guy. Who we have here. He is the owner of Science of Clean. He started in October 2013 in Melbourne, Australia. They do both residential and commercial clients. Mick, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hey, everybody. G'day from down under.
Good day indeed. So we are recording at 3:30 in the afternoon, my time. I'm like doing this and I'm done. Mick is in the opposite end of the world. Literally, is it 7-8 o'clock in the morning for you?
Yeah, 8:30.
Okay, please. It's the middle.
It's a sleeping.
Yeah, for those of you that are just listening, he's got his coffee, he's sipping. So I feel like the caffeine buzz is going to kick in soon. All right. Before we get into the coaching, you started 7-8 years ago. Give us this. What stage are you in? Are you still cleaning, completely out of cleaning? Give us the stage and give us the number one thing you've learned in your 8 years in the business.
Yep. So I guess, yeah, it's always been a bit of a side project, but I've realized recently that this is my path. And I can make an impact and, get the things I want out of life through cleaning. So, the thing I value most about, running a business is giving people the opportunity to have employment. To just valuing your workforce is just critical. So, the flip side of that is for me, it's been really difficult to find and keep good staff. So yeah, my question for Mike is, how do we find the best staff?
Beautiful. I love that question. Actually, this would be a good opportunity to talk because we are recording this May 2021 here in the States, and I'm pretty sure in Canada. Our government, in their infinite wisdom, is printing money like crazy and paying people to stay home. So the labor market here, certainly the entry-level labor market, is tight, as tight as I've seen. I've been coaching Cleaning Nation for 6-7 years now, it feels like, and I don't know that the labor market's ever been as tight as it is now, at least here in North America. Is how are things in Australia?
Yeah, it's a really weird situation. So the JobKeeper, which is the government support system that was put in place, has recently ended. And I thought that would mean that a lot of people would be looking for jobs, but no one's searching for jobs. So like I've used various avenues for paid job advertisement and no one is searching for jobs. And that's all over the board. That's not just cleaning. That's all over the board. There's jobs available. Unemployment rates are relatively high from what I gather. But no one's looking for jobs. It's weird. It's like, I don't know. So strange. I've got a few other enterprises that I'm involved with and we can't find staff for that either. It's like, who knows? Not sure how to get through that.
All right. So I forget who taught this to me, which sucks because I'd love to give credit, but I'll just share. It's not my idea, but it's a great idea. Many moons ago, someone told me to never use the word problem again and replace it immediately with opportunity. And I've done it and I've yet to find a circumstance going, that didn't make sense. So if the problem or question that you have is what I heard you say is no one here is looking for work, which obviously not the truth, right? So fewer people than typical are looking for work, I would say has probably got some truth to it, but no one's looking for work. Because if that's the case, well then all businesses just shut down immediately because, we're done. I would move that from my perception or the way I'm going to attack or engage with that tidbit from problem to opportunity. So I found when stuff gets wonky, it kind of clears everyone out, right? So we have, I don't know what you guys call them here. We call them realtors or real estate agents here that help, buy and sell property. It's funny. Depending on the market, same with mortgage brokers, as the market ebbs and flows, that can be a super profitable business or not a real profitable business. And I know when the markets were all hot. There's, you know, the realtors that have been around for 10, 20 years and they're like, oh boy, because all the part-timers come in and they all kind of jump in and feels great because the market's great. When the market sucks, the new people, the non kind of seasoned people freak out and leave. And the seasoned people go, good. We would actually prefer the crappier market that weeds out the newbies and we'll just kind of have the professionals back at it. I think there's an analogy there for cleaning businesses in that typically the barrier to entry to start a cleaning business is pretty low, right? If you got a mop and some hope, you can be in the cleaning business tomorrow. And many of us have started and that's where we're at and that's fine. In this situation, this opportunity, the way I would see it comes up where the labor market's a little funky, we could see it as a challenge or, you know, if we decide to interact with it as no one's here, or I can't do it or it's not working, that'll become a reality. If we look at it as an opportunity of, hey, if everybody's sharing with this problem, right? If I'm the only one that can't hire, that's a different kettle of fish. But if nobody or all of my competitors are dealing with a tight labor market, I'm definitely going to look at that as an opportunity. So first and foremost, I would look at how we engage with this thing. And I know it sounds like, what does that have to do with it? You're just, you know, it's, you know, kind of feel goodery stuff, but really as an owner who's been through, I found the larger businesses I've owned and the people I see that coach or that coach that deal with larger businesses, one of the big defining factors between a small business owner and a large business owner is the size of the problem it takes to knock them off his or her off our game. So when I had a little business, things like this would be elevated in my mind. I'd see this big, huge problem in me as this little person. The larger my business goes and the more I've gone through stuff, the more I'm able to look back and go, yeah, I've been through a couple things. This ain't a big deal. I'll be able to handle it. So first I would move from, this is a problem. First of all, I changed I honed in my facts. So change from nobody wants to work, which is obviously not the truth, to there are fewer people available in today's labor market than there were. That'd be step one. Step two, I changed my thought process from, and my verbiage from, problem or yeah, problem being, you know, people don't want to work, to an opportunity if people don't want to work. Third, I would focus 100% of my time and efforts on things I can control and 0% on things I can't, right? So, you know, Indeed is a big job thing here. Used to be super effective, not super effective anymore, external. Used to be people, you know, this many people were on the government dole and there was this many people working. Now maybe it's reversed. Can't control anything about that, right? So what I can control is what I offer. So anytime we're on a job, and the cool thing is I've been coaching this stuff for many, many moons, and it just becomes more true as the job market gets tighter. First I had to realize the only thing that we have to offer isn't simply money, right? Because if all we had to offer is money, well, then it would be like, well, how much can the government pay? And if I can pay a nickel more than that, then I'll get them. And if I can't, they won't. But you know, as well as I do, I like something about your question. It's important. You didn't just say, how do we get cleaners, right? When people get desperate, we ask bad questions. Like, how can I get any slightly dead zombie to come show up for 10 seconds and maybe clean something?
Find those.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I got, okay. Nick's like, I've got that way. So Nick's offering a course for how to hire terrible employees. It's not expensive, but it's not very good. So if you want that, reach out to Mick. It's funny how we can
throw money at that. You can, you know, all the time and effort into that.
All right. So we've moved from there's nobody to there's some people and a lot of people that are terrible. Is that a fair progression?
Yep. Yeah. Look, that's about the size of it. Probably less people in general. The proportion of good stuff and bad stuff is probably the same as it normally is.
Okay. It's just the overall number shrunk, but there's still more, we call them crap-licants than there are good people. Yeah. you Aussies wouldn't use such crass language as us boorish Americans, but.
Oh yeah. I had to do a little exercise this morning and get all the swearing out. So I didn't drop anyone and show him one. So.
See, look at this. He's like, I knew I was gonna be in the show. Want to make sure it didn't come, you know, dropping all sorts of foul language. What a guy. Okay. So once we've done that, I'm gonna really look at what do I have to offer that's not money. Because the government has money, it's gonna be hard to outspend them. The good news is the thing that we have to offer that's not money, not only is gonna help us set ourselves apart from the government, it's also gonna help us set ourselves apart from the community, from our competitors. And it is always going to be the life experience, right? So I have found and still believe that, you know, again, we've got higher level people, so I'm kind of cheating. We don't have a lot of minimum wage entry level folks, but none of our people left during the slowdown or whatever. And I don't know what they could get from the unemployment. It's probably similar to their salary they could get here, but they're not interested in that. They're really committed to our core values, or have fun, make money, be real, and help out. So the make money core value, say the government would pay them exactly the same to stay home. Okay, well, good. There you go. I can't compete with that one. The have fun, the government can't compete with that, right? Sitting at home is in, you know, filling out the forms or begging, whatever you got to do to get the government to send you your government cheese, not fun. Certainly not helping out, right? The government's basically paying you not to help out. So that would violate their core value. And then to be real, like, I think real people are like, I know there's not something for nothing. And the government either has to print money, which is dead, or take it from someone, my neighbor, which is not something I want. So for our people, the people that we want, they're never going to take the government job anyway, right? Because it doesn't violate their make money, but it would violate their being real. They're helping out and they're having fun. If we're attracting people that share our core values, and we've got strong core values, the government doesn't have any core values, right? It's just this big monolith. So that's unique. And none of my competitors have my core values. They have their core values. And some employees or team members are going to be attracted to that. And that's okay. They should work for that guy because they're going to be happier. But the people that are on my team are down with my cause. They're really passionate about helping owners of cleaning companies grow. They're passionate about making money and about having an opportunity to make more money if they do a good job, which the government obviously can't do. They're passionate about serving and helping out. And we have a ton of fun, right? It's not fun. So when you move from trying to pay to giving them an experience they can't get anywhere else, good thing is it's completely free. The flip side is it's hard, right? It's easy for the government to just throw money at people, but it's the experience sucks. The life that those people live is not the life that they set out to live. Like sitting on the couch, you know, watching TV and playing Xbox all day is not, you know, maybe some young people's dreams, but once you get old in the family and you've tasted in, you know, engaging in the world, that's not it. The third piece I would give you. So again, first is let's get with the truth. Cause a lot of times our emotion can say crazy things like no one wants to work. Everybody sucks. I can't, you know, we globalize things that aren't the truth. So we're going to pull back at the real truth and go, okay, is it a little more difficult to hire now than, or maybe even a lot more difficult to hire than before? Maybe. Might have to be more creative. Maybe. Is there opportunity here? So that would be the next thing, is move from problem to opportunity. Step three is going to be, work on core values and attract people based on the experience you can give them as opposed to the money. And then the last piece, one of my favorite things is, if you have a problem that requires money and you have money, you do not have a problem. So because it's a global problem, you're not the only one dealing with this, right? If and when you go to your clients and go, hey, I know our rate was $1,500 a month, but you know, in the United States here, we're looking at inflation coming in hot. I'm guessing you might have some of that in Australia, which means the price of things goes up. And just common sense says when the supply of labor goes down and the demand goes up, the price goes up. So this is a great time to raise prices on your clients. A, because everyone knows, right? When it's a local problem that's just yours, it's tough to raise prices. But when it's kind of known around the world, yep, you can't get labor and stuff's getting more expensive, we're dealing with inflation, when you raise prices, like, yep, there you go. And the good news is, like, I'm not going to pay that. I'll go somewhere else. You go, I know this is my world. They don't have labor either. So,
yeah, that does make it a bit easier. I've found it, cause I guess my price points were fairly low, cause I jumped into the business myself, was cleaning myself, and, watching your podcast on, the cost, per sale, and essentially doubling that to cover overheads. So that's been a little bit intimidating, because my prices were probably about half of what they needed to be, essentially just covering my wages.
Yeah, which is great if you're looking for a job, not as great if you're looking for a business. Yeah. So yeah, the cool, and this is a great time, by the way. So if you're like, I need to raise prices anyway, well, here's a good chance. If you were before, like, and I'll just use American numbers. I know it's obviously a little different. Australia, you guys pay a lot. But in America, say it's just $15 an hour is what you had to pay before things got hyper competitive. And you feel like, and again, please, the reason I put the culture first is it's more important, right? So the money will help, but if you don't have the culture right, forget it. You're never going to be able to outspend the government. So always start there. If you're like, well, it was $15 an hour, now it's $18 an hour, and my prices were too low at the $15 an hour, there wasn't enough for overhead and profit. This is a beautiful opportunity to just raise prices to the 50% cost of goods sold at the new thing. And you just can't be fearful, right? A lot of us just have fear people are going to leave, but the right customers will understand. And if there is some small percentage of your your client base that's like, yeah, I don't care. I just want the cheapest absolute service. I don't care if you make a nickel. I'm not interested in the market. I don't care about any of those things. I just want the cheapest thing. Great guy or gal to let go, right? Especially in this time where they're like, there is a limited amount of labor. So just like you're like, go, best of luck. Let me know how you do. Yeah. If you've got limited labor, that means you have limited customers that you can take. Let's just take the customers that understand how the world works. And again, the guy that leaves anyway, he'll be back in 2 or 3 months because he can't hire someone else because they're having the same problem that you having, right? It's not like they get a discount on labor that you don't have, or that guy doesn't know he has to pay more. So he's going to be struggling anyway. So I would rather be the guy that's more expensive, but like owners of companies throughout Melbourne, I have all the labor you need. I can make this happen. It's one less problem you have to deal with. I'd rather be that. And I'm expensive. I'd rather be that guy than the guy that's like cheap, but I can only take 2 clients. Right. Cause that's how many I can clean or however many you can handle. So biggest thing, make sure the mindset is right. This is a huge opportunity. As always, anytime you see economic upheaval, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. The poor go out of business and shrivel up and get scared and focus on what they can't control and complain and go, yeah, COVID put me out of business. And the rich go, the realtor's like, I've been here. I know what this looks like. This is going to weed out all the guys with mop, and it's going to leave the professionals, and the professionals will have professional pricing, and that'll be the new price. And we'll just move on with our lives. And, you know, a little while from now, a year or two, more guy with mops will come in and we'll have to deal with that problem. But as it is for now, I'm just going to be the best of the best. So questions, comments, Drew, to Mark, does that get you kind of what you need to move down the road?
Yeah, look, I've been thinking about my core values, and they came pretty easily. So I guess in implementing those and communicating those to attract the cleaners that are going to work for my business, that's kind of the next phase for me, I think. And just, yeah, reinforcing, I think, what I probably already knew deep down, and like having you, answer the question a bit more directly. That's helped. So definitely excited to look forward. I think I just need a bit more of a push in the right direction. And that's what you provided me, Mike. So
cool. And I'm loving that you got your core values. Are you willing to share them? Because that's exciting.
Yeah. So environmental sustainability, like ethics and safety, and like working hard, essentially.
So I love the working hard because it's super clear. I might tighten up the first two. So when you say environmental stability, that is not a core sustainability. It's kind of a core value, but it's more of a concept. So I would turn it into an action item. Be nice to our earth, or leave the earth better than we found it, or just something super clear, right? That's less corporate-y and more, because what we're looking for is like a manifesto. So employees are like, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. You know what I'm saying? Environmental sustainability sounds like a buzzword, but when you go, you know, keep the earth nice, or, you know, take care of the environment, just super clean, people are like, I got it. What was that second one again?
Safety and ethics.
Yeah. Those are two separate things. One, they're not. So you might, those would be safety, full stop, ethics. So safety, again, more of a concept. So safety is like, be safe. Like I would put it into a comment. And then ethics, I'd say something like, do the right thing always, even when it's hard, even when it hurts, even when it's expensive. But when you start saying thing like, take care of the earth, it's important, do the right thing, don't get hurt or harm anyone else, and work hard, that's a pretty good profile that's going to attract. Very few people are going to have no thoughts on that, right? Some people are like, oh my gosh, that's it. I'm all into that. Others are not. That's fantastic. Because others are not, you don't want them anyway. The ones that are, now you've got this unique selling proposition that no one else has. So you're absolutely on the right track. Keep using that. Guys, gals, don't just use it once they're hired. Use it in your hiring ad, your hiring process, your job interview, the whole thing. Make sure you use it early and often, right? If I talk about having fun, making money, being real, helping out in my hiring ad, but they come to day one of the job and we're none of those things, it's not going to be a long-term solution. But if I find out who I really am and then just advertise that throughout the process, and then I'm like, and you show up and that's what you get in the podcast as a team member, as a customer, whatever, it works. So just be consistent with that. Guys, gals, thank you for joining. If you're like, hey, I need more of this help, this is amazing, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. We also just started a text community where you can text me. Like, you know, I send out silly stuff like, what's your goal for the day? And then, holy crap, I'm looking at some stuff. What are you going to get done this year? Or what's your biggest challenge? And people, people just respond, and I respond to every single one of them. So when you guys text, I will text back. Where is the, you'd think I'd have that number memorized, but I don't. Let me find it for you real quick. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. I'll text you back, or go to growmycleaningcompany.com for all the good stuff that we have. I'll see you there.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.